Mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, and my fellow students, I greet you with a universal greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On behalf of Islamia College, Masjid al-Furqan, and the extended family, I would like to wish each and everyone Jumu'ah Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a blessed week ahead, inshallah. Ameen. It is truly an honor to stand here on this blessed day of Jumu'ah and introduce our honorable guest speakers for today, who is none other than Baulana Suleyman Rovat, as well as the Council General of Turkey, Sinan Yesildag, who will also be addressing the Jama'ah, inshallah. Maulana Suleyman is the Imam of Nurul Islam Masjid in Lanesia, Johannesburg, and Maulana Suleyman is also the Islamic TV and radio presenter. The Dua Qunut will also be read in the Jumu'ah Salah, and Salah Al-Ghaib will be performed immediately after the Jumu'ah Salah for the thousands who have lost their lives in the earthquake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all those and those who have passed on Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah, ameen. Currently, it is load shedding, so the TVs will not be on, and the outside mic is challenged too. Without further ado, I present to you Maulana Suleyman Rovat.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يأن الذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, brothers, beloved students, mothers, viewers, we are going through a very sacred period in the Islamic calendar. Normally we focus exclusively on the month of Ramadan. But Islam wants us to focus on the lead up to Ramadan. The famous dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. We need to contemplate, we need to reflect, we need to introspect that why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asking for dua of barakah? Why is he requesting Allah to bless him or to bless us during the months of Rajab and Sha'ban? Is it for material gain? Oh, I don't know these days, even Rajab and Sha'ban, the tenders are on greater offer. No, it is because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understands that the extent of your benefit in Ramadan will be proportionate to the effort that you made throughout the year, but more so in Rajab and Sha'ban. There's one thing that we don't understand and which we need to understand. There's a difference between the reward of Ramadan and the benefit of Ramadan. The reward we will get, inshallah, we will fast, we will perform Salatul Taraweeh, we will give charity, we will sit for itikaf, we will read Quran, we will make dhikr, and for that, inshallah, Allah will reward us. That's the reward of Ramadan. What's the benefit of Ramadan? The benefit of Ramadan is whether you remain a better Muslim after Ramadan or not. The majority of us, may Allah forgive me and forgive all of us, on the day of Eid or a few days after Eid, we go back to exactly where we were prior to Ramadan. Even our bad habits, we don't hit the delete button, we hit the pause button. We say, okay, 30 days I will be a good boy. You know, 30 days I will behave. So mentally, emotionally, spiritually, there's no real intention to change. There's only an intention to secure reward. That, okay, I will fast, I will read Quran, I will give charity, I will do this, I will do that, which is all noble. So we do it and Allah will reward us. But do we become better Muslims and do we remain better Muslims after Ramadan? If Allah has decreed for you to live 65 years, maybe the first 15 Ramadans of your life, you're still in the initial phases of your life. So you're down to 50. You've got 50 opportunities on average to come closer to Allah and closer to Allah and closer to Allah, almost like a ladder. Each Ramadan taking you one rung, one step closer to Allah. But because we don't see Ramadan from that perspective, what we do is we take the step up and immediately after Ramadan, we take the step down. So we are where we are, spiritually speaking. And that is unfortunate. So this period here that we have already entered to and we are deep into the month of Rajab, it is a season of change. So Allah gives us Rajab, which is one of the sacred months. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, every good deed you do in Rajab, Allah rewards, Allah multiplies the reward. But any sin that you do, Allah also multiplies the sin. That's the principle. When the time period is sacred, be it Rajab, be it the other Ashhur al-Hurum, the sacred months, be it Ramadan, be it a sacred place, Makkah, Medina, any good you do, the reward is multiplied. Any wrong you do, the sin is also multiplied. So the first and the most important preparation for Ramadan is to start giving up sin with the intention of leaving it altogether, not with the intention of going back to it as soon as the moon and the crescent is sighted for the day of Eid al-Fitr. Physically, we prepare. The ladies are already stocking up their freezers, and that's a good thing. So that you, in Ramadan, make yourself more available for ibadah. Men are pushing, getting as much work as they can possibly get done during Rajab and Sha'ban. So Ramadan, you can dedicate yourself more to ibadah. But spiritually, are we preparing? Are we saying this is a season of change and I want to change for the better and I want to remain a better Muslim after the month of Ramadan? So that's the point I wanted to make up front. How do we change? How do we reach Allah? Change means coming closer to Allah, becoming a better servant of Allah, becoming a closer friend of Allah. How do I reach Allah? There are a variety of ways. For example, in a hadith al-Qudsi, Allah says, "Wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya," that those two people who love one another only for my sake, no ulterior motive, then my love becomes compulsory for both of them. They become my beloveds, they become my friends, they enjoy my closeness. Let me say in passing, brothers, if you have one person in your life who loves you for the sake of Allah and with no ulterior motive, consider yourself fortunate. Today we live in a world full of what they call in Indian terminology, matlabis. Matlabis. Everyone knows you or wants to know you or wants to love you or wants to show you affection because there's something that they want out of that relationship. So I'm saying that if you've got one such person in your life who loves you for the sake of Allah, consider that a treasure, because it's a rarity in the world that we live in today. You know, normally we were taught growing up that on the day of Qiyamah it will be nafsi, nafsi. We see it in the dunya already, nafsi, nafsi. No one wants to know you for your sake. Everyone wants to know you for their sake. So that's one way of reaching Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Where wajabat mahabbati lil mutahabbina fiyya, those two who love one another only for the pleasure of Allah, Allah says, both of you become beloved unto me. You see, let me tell you something. Islam is not complicated. Deen is easy. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna deena yusrun, he meant it. It's our perception that certain things are difficult. Reaching Allah is not rocket science. Reaching Allah doesn't mean you need to launch a space shuttle into Mars. Reaching Allah is possible for every Muslim, for every servant of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Educated or not so educated, rich or not so rich, black or white, Allah has made it easy for us to reach Him. And Allah just wants us to make a little bit of effort and then He takes care of the rest. Allah says, you take a baby step towards me, a baby step. I come running to you and I embrace you. But we are humans after all, right? خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ هَلُوعًا. We have been created hasty. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. We have been created weak. So we want to reach Allah, but we want the quickest way, the easiest way, and the most effective way. I want to travel to Durban. What's the best flight, the cheapest flight, and the quickest turnaround time? That's what I want. So, from a spiritual perspective, if you look at it, that if I want to reach Allah, what's the quickest, most effective way? The quickest and the most effective way of reaching Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the answer to that question is found in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim. إِنَّكُمْ لَا تَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا خَرَجَ مِنْهُ يَعْنِي الْقُرْآنِ. Nothing can bring you closer to Allah more quickly and more effectively than the Qur'an can, because the Qur'an is the spoken word of Allah. You see, today, brothers, let me tell you something. You pick up any book of a so-called lifestyle coach, all these authors, you go in the corporate world today, you'll hear one buzzword, one phrase. They say, come back to basics. It's a principle of history. When you study history, because this dunya is an imperfect place, Jannah is a perfect place. May Allah grant it to us all. So because this dunya is an imperfect place, the more you advance on one front, you retrogress on another front. Humanity has progressed technologically, digitally, medically, scientifically. But that progress has led to retrogression when it comes to the fundamentals. And this applies in almost every sphere of life. So in business, they're saying, you see, all of the Zoom and digital meetings was a good thing. It narrowed the world. But now we're losing a fundamental, and that is the basic connection with your customer. So I met someone for business, the radio business in the week, and he insisted on coming in physically. I said, we can do a Zoom. He said, no, I want to come in physically. And he said, it's our policy for this year, as far as possible, we want one-on-one contact again. That technology has progressed. It's easy, it's an option. But at the same time, we're kind of losing connection with the fundamental. We need a one-to-one interaction. So spiritually as well, today we have more access to knowledge than ever before. Today we know much more. We know much more than what our forefathers did. Today we have more scholars than ever before. But are we better Muslims than our forebears? Are we practicing more on the deen? So we've learned a lot about the intricate masail. We know all the controversies. We know all the ikhtilafat. But is our salah in order? Do we have a holistic, sustained relationship with the Quran? Do we have a holistic, sustained relationship with the Quran? So even spiritually, we have to come back to basics, because fundamentals are fundamentals for a reason. We have all sorts of challenges. We have individual challenges. We have collective challenges. We have geopolitical challenges. We have economic challenges. We have the challenges of ESCOM or ISHCOM and every other COM and every other controversy. And I just came back from London. My wife said, was it cold? I said, it was cold, but there was no load shedding. It was cold, but there was no load shedding. You know, when I came back to Oa Tambo at immigration, the lady looked up to me, she smiled. She saw South African passport. Welcome back, sir. Welcome to load shedding. So we've got all these problems. We've seen what happened in Turkey. Catastrophic for the Ummah. Heart-wrenching when you see those images. Where did the Sahaba turn to? Throughout the glory days of Islam, when there's difficulties, when there's challenges, Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't become overly grieved. Natural grief is natural. Don't become overly depressed. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. You will prevail if you strengthen your iman. If you strengthen your relationship with Allah. If you strengthen your bond with your Creator. If you use this Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan, the season of change, to become a better Muslim, to become a better servant of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, then the help of Allah will come. It doesn't mean your challenges will evaporate. This is the place of challenge. Dunya is a test. Life is a test. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, in this world you have to strive, you have to make effort. There's going to be hardships. But those who respond in the right way, Jannah is theirs for the taking. And those who don't respond in the right way, then they have lost the opportunity. They have lost the opportunity. And you know what? This kind of effort is required more from those of us who are in prosperity than those who are in difficulty. You know, I marvel, I tear when I look at those clips and images coming out of Turkey. And you see those young people under the rubble and they're saying, Alhamdulillah. You and I, we struggle to say Alhamdulillah when there's no lights for 2 hours. We complain our lives away. Oh, it's hot, the aircon is not working, this, that, the other. I'm not saying that we must give government a free pass for their corruption and for their inefficiency. I'm saying when you think your life is difficult, look at someone else's life. I mean, look at those images. What iman? That father telling his son, proclaim the shahada. So when it is in prosperity that we become negligent, when we don't have that degree of difficulty, then we become distant from Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, a sustained and holistic relationship with the Quran, that's fundamental. You see, let me tell you something very quickly. Preparation for Ramadan revolves around the following. First and foremost, give up sin. Because sin creates a cloud around your heart, and sin makes you less receptive to the blessings of Ramadan. The second thing, get your salah in order. The third thing, start talking to Allah. We are lazy to make dua. We don't have a habit. We only have a habit of saying Ameen to the Imam's dua. But talk to Allah in your own language. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, when I make dua to Allah, my priority is not whether Allah accepts the dua or not. I enjoy having a conversation with Allah. So how many of us are having a conversation with Allah? At least once a day minimum. Then dhikr of Allah. Because that brings barakah. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ Those who have true iman, the remembrance of Allah brings them contentment, even if they're under rubble, and they don't know whether they will be rescued or not. And then Quran. But why am I focusing on Quran? Because again, we are weak. We say, okay, now I must give up sin, I must get my salah in order, I must get dua in order, I must get Quran in order. Where do I start? The miracle of the Quran, because the Quran is the spoken word of Allah. The miracle of the Quran is if you start there, then Allah makes it easier for you to achieve everything else. So, two words I'm consistently repeating because I want it to settle in your heart and mind. A holistic and a sustained relationship with the Quran. Not only a relationship in Ramadan, and not only a relationship of recitation. There are 7 points, and I want you to remember this. Towards having a sustained and a holistic relationship with the Quran. And you know why the Quran is so miraculous? Let me give you a very contemporary example. So, I bought an iPhone 14. Yeah? Youngsters will know about it. Latest on the market. Now, you can have the best gadget, right? You can have the best network. I don't know which is the best network these days. But let's say Vodacom. Then, you can have the best signal. 4G, 5G. You've got the best device, you've got the best network, you're in a very good area, the signal is strong. Now what happens? You have the potential to talk to people. People can talk to you. You can message people. People can message you. You can Google something at the speed of lightning. Nowadays when I'm doing an interview, in the middle of the interview, if the guy says something and I've heard of it, before he completes his answer, I've already Googled it to see what's he going on about. You can do all of that and more on one condition. You must switch on your cell phone. When you switch on your cell phone, you connect it to an amazing network from the palm of your hands where you can talk and you can be spoken to. When you can message it and you can be messaged. Where you can browse, where you have access to all of this information, to this great network. But you have to be switched on. Now when you switch on your relationship with the Quran, you are connected to the network of Allah. Allah says, Kitabullahi hablum mamdudun min as-sama'i ila al-ard. The Quran is like a rope hanging from the heavens to the earth. Allah has latched onto that rope, meaning Allah's network is open. No Wi-Fi password needed. No capping. No throttling. Uncapped like you can't believe. All Allah wants you to do is switch on your side of the network. Then you connect it to the network of Allah. So 7 points. One, recite the Quran. Whether you understand it or not, recite it. Because it's nourishment for your soul. Look, the ideal is to eat, to know what you're eating, and to enjoy what you're eating. But there are times in your life when they feed you and you're not even awake. You're in an ICU, in a coma, they feed you through a tube, but you're being nourished nonetheless. Today, people have everything materially, but they still feel depressed because they're not nourishing the soul. And the greatest nourishment for the soul is the Quran. I'm not saying you mustn't know the meaning. I say even if you don't know the meaning, you must still recite. So Allah says, recite the Quran for your benefit, but when you recite the Quran for every letter, I'll give you 10 rewards. The second part of the 7-part holistic relationship with the Quran is listen to others recite. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told Ibn Mas'ud, recite. He said, Ya Rasulullah, the Quran was revealed on you. He said, sometimes I must listen to the recitation of others. It touches you, it moves you. When he looked up after reciting for a while, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was crying. So the Nabi of Allah, who was the recipient of the revelation, was moved by the recitation of a Sahabi who was not the recipient of the revelation. The third thing, so recite, listen to the recitation of others. The third thing is improve your own recitation. You see, everything has a standard. When you dress according to a standard. When you go into a meeting, you're going according to a protocol. The Quran also has a standard. A voice is something which Allah has given some people and hasn't given others. Tune is not something which is compulsory. But to recite the Quran with its proper pronunciation, that is mandatory on every Muslim, even if you're 80 years old. And there are people who will help you with that for free. You can't say, well, I'm old, my tongue is already in the groove, how am I going to now learn? No, we must take pride in the Quran greater than what we take pride in our personal affairs. So read, listen, improve your recitation. Fourth thing, become a hafiz, all of you. What do I mean? Who said that memorization of the Quran is exclusive to the youngsters? That's the time you do it because your memory is more fresh. But I just spoke to a brother on the radio the other day who completed the hifz at the age of 65 by his son who was a hafiz. There are people even older than that. So if you start learning one line a day, even if you don't finish, we learn in the hadith, the angels will finish for you in the grave. Why miss out on the opportunity? You see, you tell some old people, you say, no, Maulana, don't worry, it's okay. My son is hafiz, my grandson is hafiz. So I say, you know what? When the older you get, you say, no, I don't want to stay in my son's house, I want to be independent. I don't want my grandson's money, I want to live off my own money, even if he's offering. So in material things, you don't want to benefit from others. In spiritual things, why are you leaving it to chance? That my son is hafiz, my grandson is hafiz. Why not take the direct honor of being a hafiz yourself? One line a day, if that's all you can manage. You don't finish, you'll finish in the akhirah. Your jalsa will be in the akhirah. So read, listen, improve your tajweed, become hafiz. Number 5, learn the meaning of the Quran. Interpretation of the Quran is a scholarly field. If you want to interpret Quran, go and study. But the message of the Quran is for everyone. It's a tragedy that you live your life as a Muslim, but you don't understand Allah's love letter to humanity. And today we have authentic tafsir, which the ulama have endorsed in easy contemporary English. How many of us have bought one copy of the tafsir for our houses for us to read and for our children to read? What is Allah's message here? When they have tafsir classes, how many of us sit? Engage with the meaning of the Quran. It's an ocean, the depth of which you can never reach an end. The sixth thing is practice on the teachings of the Quran. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was seen, Aisha radiallahu anha says, every word, every action, every indication, kana khuluquhu al-Quran. He was the Quran exemplified. And then the 7th thing is propagate the message of the Quran. Simple messages you teach your kids. If you just think about this, right? You teach your son to read Surah Fatiha. He teaches his son to read Surah Fatiha. He teaches his son to read Surah Fatiha. You may be dead 100 years, but the angels will still be writing a reward for you. That's the barakah of the Quran. So 7 things I've shared with you, but you've got to start now. They say if you want to break a bad habit, abstain from it for 40 days and you'll break the habit. We got more than just a little more than 40 days between now and Ramadan. And if you want to develop a good habit, be consistent on it for 40 days and it becomes a habit in your life. The opportunity is now, the season of change. Read Quran, listen to the recitation of Quran, improve your own recitation and tajweed, start becoming a hafiz, engage with the meaning of the Quran, practice upon the teachings of the Quran and propagate the message of the Quran. And if you do this on a consistent basis, then you have a holistic, sustained relationship with the Quran. In short, make the Quran part of your daily routine. That's my message. And then you'll see the miracle in your life, and you'll see the miracle in your environment, and you'll see the miracle in your community, and we'll see the miracle in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Sheikh al-Hind was imprisoned on Malta and he was resisting the British in India, after a lengthy imprisonment, when he came out, people said, what's the solution? He said, after a lengthy deliberation, the solution is come back to the Quran. In a holistic sense. And that's my message to you today. For individual collective prosperity, we need to come back to the Quran. You know, in English, they say so beautifully, the Quran is the only book that no matter where you read it, the author is present. Let's extend that for Muslims to another level. The Quran is the only book that no matter who you are, the author loves you. Any other book you can read it, you're making the author rich. That's provided you didn't take a knockoff PDF. And no matter how much you enjoy it, you probably won't meet the author. And if you meet him, he probably won't give you the time of day. But the Quran is such that no matter where you read it, the author is present. The author is listening to you. Allah is listening to you. And Allah loves you. I want to conclude with an incident which I always quote when I speak about Quran. It's a famous incident. All of you would have heard about it, but it's a lesson behind it. And it's the incident of the great Umar ibn al-Khattab. There was a time in Makkah when the two greatest enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Jahl ibn Hisham. Amr was his name, Abu Jahl. And the Nabi of Allah did not curse them. You see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's another talk that I give. He focused more on the talents of people than on the shortcomings of people. So the Nabi of Allah lifts up his hands and says, oh Allah, both Amr and Umar have great talent. If not both, let one of them accept Islam, it will strengthen the effort of deen. Today the man does you down in one business deal, you condemn him to hell forever. That's not a justification for his wrong. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua. Now, this world is, there's a system, right? So Allah put a system into play. What led to the reversion of Umar? Umar leaves his house with the intention of committing the greatest murder that can ever be committed. And that is to spill the blood of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And route is told, before you go there to Dar-e Arqam, check your brother and sister-in-law, your sister and brother-in-law. They have become Muslim. So Umar is in a rage. Umar's heart is filled with animosity towards Islam and Muslims. And when he comes there, inadvertently, his ears fall upon the recitation of the Quran. Taha, ma anzalna alayka al-Quran litashqa, illa tathkiratan liman yakhsha. تنزيلا ممن خلق الأرض والسماوات العلا الرحمن على العرش استوى له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وما بينهما وما تحت الثرى وإن تجهر بالقول فإنه يعلم السر وأخفى الله لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. That heart which was full of anger, rage, hatred, animosity, which wanted to kill the Nabi of Allah, it now melts. The magic of the Quran. When he knocks at the door at Dar-e Arqam, oh Umar, what brings you here? He says, I've come to proclaim the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Sahaba in a state of disbelief. The Nabi of Allah is in a state of ecstasy. He says, Allahu Akbar, Umar has accepted Islam. When Umar accepts Islam, now the Sahaba can perform Salah in public. Now the Sahaba can make Tawaf in public. Think about the magic of the Quran. That Umar who wanted to kill the Nabi of Allah, today he lies resting next to the Nabi of Allah. When you go to Medina, you say, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Bakr, As-salamu alayka ya Umar. Orientalists write that the world needs an Umar. What caused the change in the life of Umar? It was by mistake his ears fell upon the recitation of the Quran. The man who wanted to kill the Nabi of Allah will be resurrected with the Nabi of Allah. He will be the eternal companion of the Nabi of Allah in Jannah. Imagine if you and I open up our daily routine in our lives to the Quran, what magic the Quran will perform in our lives. Just give the Quran a chance. The time is now. It's the season of change. It's time to change for the better and to remain changed for the better, inshallah. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.
JazakAllahu khayran to Mawlana Sulaiman for those beautiful words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Mawlana many more years filled with happiness and strength so that Mawlana can continue to inspire and guide us as the ummah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salah al-Ghaib will be performed immediately after the Fard Salah for the thousands who have lost their lives in the earthquake. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all those who have passed on Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah. I now present you the Consul General of Turkey, Sinan Yeseldag.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just before our brother Sinan addresses us, Ahmad Chawan has asked me to just introduce and say a few words on this particular matter. We know on the 6th of February, we woke up to a devastating earthquake that shook the southern eastern part of the correct name is Turkey and Syria, the northern parts of Syria. Thus far, over 20,000 people have lost their lives, and close to 12 million people have been displaced across 10 provinces in the southeastern part of Turkey. Now, we note with pride that Turkey has been one of the most biggest donor nations in the world, dwarfing the United States in terms of GDP, contributions towards humanitarian aid across the globe, and South Africa has been part and parcel of the recipients of that particular aid. And therefore, it is our time to stand with the people of Turkey and with the people of Syria in order to alleviate their devastation and the destructions that has taken place. Immediately, our relief organizations have responded to the call for aid and assistance. Institutions like Gift of the Givers, Islamic Relief, the Jamiatul Ulama of South Africa, so many others, Al Imdad, Africa Muslim Agencies, Gift of the Givers, Islamic Relief on the ground, the other institutions are distribution centers across Turkey, helping and assisting. Today, OCAF South Africa is sending three cargoes, close to about 24 tons of blankets and tents, inshallah, through Turkish Airlines to alleviate the suffering. And we want to thank Uncle Ahmad Chawan as well as the Board of Islamia for initiating and bringing to us the call to say, let us perform across South Africa Salatul Janaz al-Ghaib as well as Dua'i Kunut in the Jummah Khutbah, at least in the Jummah Salah. And thus far we've received messages, Honorable Sheikh, that Maulana Rawat, that over 600 masajids have adhered to that call as a show of our solidarity and support. So without further ado, we welcome also the Indonesian Consul General, as well as the Consul General, the founding Consul General for Cape Town, Brother Sinan Yeseldag, to address us for a few minutes, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I am honored to address you. And I convey to you, brothers, salam and greetings of all Turkish sisters and brothers. It is indeed a big disaster, a large destruction. More than 15,000 people were affected, with 6,000 houses destroyed. Unfortunately, that toll now is around 20,000. And it is already more than 100 hours, and hopes are fading for the people under rubbles. Thank you for all your support, calls, messages. Your duas give us more strength. Please keep all your Turkish sisters and brothers in your prayers. Nearly 100 countries sent rescue and medical teams to Turkey last 3 days. gift of the givers also among them. I was with them at the airport. Brave young women and men of South Africa. We are now organizing the donations like winter tents, blankets, gas heater, and generators. We are accepting them in at the Turkish consulate in Constantia. Finally, we must say to Allah we belong, and to Him is our return. May Allah accept your du'as, inshallah. Thank you so much.
We say shukran to Consul General of Turkey, Sinan Yesildah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all, inshallah, amen. We are requested to make dua for Sister Abdia, who came out of hospital and is back here at the masjid, alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her and all those that are sick complete shifa, inshallah, amen. Once again, today, Islamia College has the honor of officiating the Jumu'ah Salah. The first adhan will be made by Adam Oren, and the second adhan will be rendered by Saifullah Oliver. I kindly ask if all Musallis can please stand and fill any gaps so that no time is wasted between the khutbah and the Salah. Shukran, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرًا ونذيرًا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأوثق العرى كلمة التقوى وخير الملل ملة إبراهيم عليه السلام وخير السنن سنة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشرف الحديث ذكر الله وأحسن القصص القرآن وخير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وأحسن الهدي هدي الأنبياء وأشرف القتل قتل الشهداء وأعمى العمى الضلالة بعد الهدى واليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وما قل وكفى خير مما كثر وألهم وشر المعذرة حين يحضر الموت وشر الندامة يوم القيامة. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله أحمده سبحانه ونشكره جل وعلا ألا صلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على خير البرية وأفضل البشرية وأزكى الإنسانية الهادي البشير السراج المنير الصادق الوعد الأمين محمد ابن عبد الله كما أمركم الله في قوله إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن الصحابة أجمعين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب، اللهم انصر إخواننا في تركيا، اللهم انصر إخواننا في تركيا، اللهم اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا، اللهم انصر إخواننا المظلومين المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي كل مكان يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين، اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين يا أكرم الأكرمين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا ذا العرش العظيم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقم الصلاة.
اشتريت عند روز من فضلك. Fill all the gaps. الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. يا صلاة من على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
اللهم استقيموا واستووا واعتدلوا وارحمنا وارحمكم الله. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تكونوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا اللهم فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي بالحق ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعانيت ولك الحمد على ما قضيت نستغفرك اللهم من كل ذنب وخطيئة ونتوب إليك اللهم انصر إخواننا في تركيا اللهم انصر إخواننا في تركيا اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين اللهم انصر إخواننا في سوريا اللهم انصر إخواننا في كل مكان برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من الأجس والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل والفشل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا يوم عظيم ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا همّا إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ضالا إلا هديته ولا طالبا إلا نجحته ولا حاجة هي لك رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا مولانا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارحمنا يا الله فإنك بنا راحم، ولا تعذبنا يا الله فأنت علينا قادر، والتف بنا يا مولانا فيما جرت به المقادير، إنك على ما تشاء قدير. وقل رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم استجب بفضلك دعاءنا ولا تخيب فيك رجاءنا، واشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا وأهلك عداءنا. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب دعوات، ويا قاضي الحاجات ويا رب المعجزات. استجب بفضلك دعاءنا، استجب بفضلك دعاءنا، استجب بفضلك دعاءنا يا مجيب. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم، استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم أتوب إليه. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة على الأموات الغائبين، الصلاة رحمكم الله.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم واسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم واسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم اغفر لهم وارحمهم واسكنهم في الجنة. اللهم إن كانوا محسنين فزد في إحسانهم، وإن كانوا مسيئين فتجاوز عن سيئاتهم، واحشرهم مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا. ذلك الفضل من الله، وكفى بالله عليما. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية، فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون، الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.